Holy Gospel this morning is written in the 13th chapter of Matthew, beginning at the 31st verse. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which someone found and hid. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all of this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The word of the Lord. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for the invitation to be with you this Sunday. We had a lovely drive over here, but it's wonderful to get to come and see our brothers and sisters that are, shall we say, a little bit on the edges of our synod, which, as you know, is 175 congregations, goes all the way from Frostburg, Maryland, to the Atlantic Ocean, and from the Pennsylvania line, and our southernmost congregation is in Laurel, Maryland. So thank you for the invitation. Also, I bring you greetings from our Bishop Wolfgang Herzlein, who, if he were here, would say thank you for all the ways that you support us in your financial giving, in your mission support, in the prayers, in your participation in the life of our synod, even though I know sometimes you have to drive a little ways to get places. So thank you very much, and thank you for your partnership. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks this day that you have brought us here together, that we have arrived safely, and we pray that a measure of your Holy Spirit would continue to be alive and moving through us, that you would open our ears and our hearts to hear your word for us this day, that you would continue to lead us and guide us, that you would show us your way and in the ways that you would have us serve you and your people. We pray all this together in Jesus' name, that all of God's people say, amen. Amen. So the thing I want to really talk about this morning is surprises. Who here hasn't had some surprises in their life? You know, sometimes they're really good things that we're happy about. Sometimes these surprises are some of the hardest things that have happened in our life. And by surprises, we mean those things that we don't expect to have happen. So I thought I would list a few of the big ones that happened for me in I must say, my very short life. There was that time when my mother and sister flew all the way from Seattle secretly to surprise me to say happy birthday to me on my 50th birthday. Then there was this blind date I had in 1981. We've been married now for 32 years. There was that phone message that we discovered on the phone one Sunday when we got home from church that said I really needed to call home now. And when I did, we found out that my father had died very suddenly that morning. There was that third baby we hadn't exactly planned, but without whom we can't picture what our family would be like. He's been such a blessing. And maybe one of the biggest surprises in my life was becoming a pastor at the age of 57. You're getting closer to how old I really am. At the age of 57, when I can still remember very clearly when I was 8 years old and my mother explained to me that women were never going to be pastors. So my list of surprises are all these kinds of things that have been life-changing events, that were a place that came in the road and I moved in a different way. Nothing that I ever could have predicted or thought was going to have happen. So I don't know if you've been following the lectionary the last couple of weeks or not. Did you follow the lectionary while the pastor was out of town?
Yes.
Okay. So what we've heard is a lot of stuff from the 13th chapter of Matthew. a lot of stuff about seeds and weeds and quality of ground and gathering in of crops. And all of this is about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, which is that place where God's intention and hope and care for this whole world and all of creation becomes even more real and more present for all of the people, not just church people, but for the whole world, for all of us. And that's what Jesus is talking and teaching about today, again, in this part of the 13th chapter. And I think sometimes it's in response to what happened to him in the 12th chapter. Because that's the place where Jesus has come up for the first time against some real opposition. Those Pharisees and some other religious leaders came and they debated with him and they challenged him openly. They even began to plot how they were going to kill him. And they accused him of being in partnership with Beelzebub or the devil. Because how else could he do these kinds of things that he was doing? So in the 13th chapter, we hear over and over, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And we've got more of that today. In fact, if you listen to when I read it, it came one right after the other. And it's a little bit hard to follow, I think. So we're going to try to go over those just to keep them a little bit straight in our heads. So there's the story of a very small seed that grows into a bush so large that some birds come to live and make nests in there. And when birds make nests, what do? They have more birds, right? So this is going to be a bush very full of a lot of birds. And there's the story of a woman who has some leaven, which is not those neat little packages of yeast that some of us buy in the grocery store. And the text said mixes. But if you look at the Greek word, it says hides. She takes this leaven and she hides it in this huge amount of flour. Then there's the story of a man who finds a hidden treasure and is willing to give up everything and change his whole life to have that one treasure. And then there's that man who finds that perfect pearl, the pearl he's been looking for so long. And he gives up everything and changes his whole life for that one pearl. And finally, we hear that the kingdom of heaven is like a net that is cast so wide it takes in all different kinds of fish. So you might ask, what is it that all these stories have in common when they take them together? And I think what it really is that it's a whole lot of surprises for people. In each one of these stories, there's a surprise that especially his listeners at the 2,000 years ago would have thought Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. Because mustard, you see, was a rather annoying and persistent weed that grew into a very small bush, and you really didn't want it anywhere. And everyone knew that no birds were ever going to come and live in a mustard bush. And leaven, again, not in those neat little envelopes, leaven was this lump of rotting dough that if you put it in the flour was really going to pollute all the flour you had. And this woman puts it into approximately 50 pounds of flour. No man in his right mind would sell everything that he had to get a hidden treasure or the perfect pearl. And while the fishermen in the group knew how wide a net had to be cast to catch fish, they really only wanted the right kind of fish. So this story from Jesus is full of all kinds of surprises and unexpected results of stories that don't make any sense. And each of these stories are what? Are what Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. So each of these things, a field of weeds, a bunch of rotting dough, some crazy men and nets that are too full of not the right things. That's what Jesus says is the kingdom of heaven. So right now in your head, I'm hearing you say, well, then why is he telling these stories that don't make a lot of sense to his listeners and make probably sometimes, some ways, less sense to us 2,000 years ago? I think they're a little bit confusing. Let's be really honest. I think they're a little bit confusing, don't you? Yeah, okay, I heard at least one yes. It's okay to talk out loud during a sermon today, too, I might add. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Okay, well, I've got some questions later on. But every one of these stories are about the ways for God to begin to enact what God intends, what God hopes for, what God has desired for all of us. How does this kingdom of heaven seem to spread in ways that we would never, ever begin to imagine? Infiltrating somewhere, taking over, changing things little by little until there's something new where the old has been. Might this kingdom of heaven that Jesus talks about again and again, might this be what God desires for us and for this whole world? Might this be the desire of what God intends for this whole world? What this the desire that we begin to live in the ways that are closer to what God intends and how God created so long ago in Eden? Might this kingdom of heaven be a more potent and powerful thing than we might even have ever imagined? So what if this kingdom of heaven spreads into all parts of our lives, not just that Sunday morning part, you know, those other 6.5 days of the week? What if this kingdom of heaven becomes alive in our congregation? What if it spreads into our denomination? What if we start to see it in our families or our communities and our neighborhoods? Well, that list can go on. So what if God's intention for how we treat each other, for how we care for each other, for how we seek peace and justice for all people, what if this is how we become part of how God redeems the whole world? What if that begins to happen in small and subtle ways in our everyday lives right where we are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? So what are the mustard seed and the leaven and the treasure and the fishing net that makes that come true for us? How does the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ infiltrate us, be smuggled into us, spread in us, and through us to the whole world? So some people talk about these marks of discipleship that show when people are learning through their lives how to follow Jesus. What if those marks are the ways that God uses us to save the world? We see them as tools for opening up while God would be at work through us. How might we begin to regard invitations to read the Bible or to pray every day, to come to Sunday worship on a regular basis, to give generously, to tell our faith stories, and to serve in Jesus' name? How might those things change us if we thought that these things might lead to our own lives being changed and taken over by what God intends, God's reality, and the way that God wants to rule? How might we be surprised by what it is that God can do? Maybe even what God is already doing in and through us. Now, I'm not talking about doing a bunch of stuff to get a lot of points to get in good with God so that maybe someday we can get to heaven. I'm talking about the ways that God's love for the whole world is made new and real and relevant for a broken and hurting world in which we live. And if we're honest, we have those same broken and hurting places in our own lives with difficult and broken relationships, dependence on the wrong things to make a good life, or blindness to the places where God has shown up in our lives and invited us to participate in this kingdom of heaven. Our neighborhoods and our families can be places where there is hurt and exclusion. And no matter where you stand politically, we heard the list this morning already, announcements, but nowhere, doesn't matter where you stand politically, we know that the people in Israel and Gaza are living in the fear of death and destruction, and are becoming more and more alienated from each other every day. We know that there are thousands of frightened and hurting children at the southern part borders of our country, and we know that there are families all over the world grieving members that were on flights that crashed and never arrived at their destination. And you know what? That list can go on and on and on. Every one of those places, every one of those issues, and the places in your own life where there are broken and painful issues, all of this is absolutely where God wants to be. This is the place where God wants to be present, where God wants to be at work in us and through us. So, because of this, God sent Jesus to live and to heal and to teach about this kingdom of heaven. But it was too hard and too radical and too much change for some people. Remember what we talked about in chapter 12? And so they plotted and they eventually succeeded. They arrested, they tortured, and they executed Jesus on a cross. And for a day or two, it looked like the good news of God's surprising love was gone and dead and over with. It had been defeated. But on the third day, God raised up Jesus and said that death didn't win. and sin did not win, and evil would not win, and not just for a select few, and not just 2,000 years ago, but for all of those in this world, in this time, who live with us. Those are all people that God loves now and for whom the kingdom of heaven is real. So we have a mission. Our mission is that we have been claimed by God's love and that we're redeemed by the grace of Jesus' resurrection, and we are absolutely empowered by God's Holy Spirit to be that mustard seed, to be that little piece of leaven, that life-changing desire for that hidden treasure, and to be that huge net for all those fish. These are the ways that we move in and change life and the world as we know it, beginning with you and me. And this moves us towards God's vision of love and reconciliation. Because the reality is there's folks out there, folks who are not here today, lots of folks who don't come to church, or who never come to church, or who have maybe been deeply hurt by the church. And it's because they believe that there is something about them or something that they have done that means God cannot love them. They do not believe themselves to be lovable. But because we have been blessed to have heard that we are loved and redeemed and saved through God's grace, it is in those times that we become that seed and that leaven, the vision for a treasure, that great big net that is hauling in those fish. And the world will never, ever be the same. And some of those people we just talked about are never going to walk through your doors. But they will hear when you tell your story about those places where God has been active and life-changing for you. So here's the part I want you to think about. There's no test next week. But these are the questions I'd like you to think about, not just for the next 2 minutes while I'm up here talking, but maybe for the rest of the week. Think for a moment where God has been active and a little bit sneaky in your life. Where has God shown up and surprised you? Where is God growing some mustard and hiding some leaven and changing you? Where do you see the kingdom of heaven popping up? Right here at Reformation Lutheran Church in Milford, Delaware. And where are those other places that you see that too? This is the story that we are empowered and enlivened and given the Holy Spirit to tell that story wherever we are, in our families, in our work, to our neighbors. You never know where God will open up a place for you to tell a simple story of what God has done for you. We tell this in our words, and we tell this in the ways that we serve. When I got here this morning, that bucket was empty, and now it's overflowing. That's one way we tell the people, the world, that God loves them. So today, we don't really think about mustard seeds and rotting dough and nets and crazy men who buy fields for treasures. Today, I want you to think about, in Milford, Delaware, what is it? The kingdom of heaven is like. That, sisters and brothers, is God's good news for you this day. Let all of God's people say, amen.